Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host today, and I'm glad that you're here. Hope that you'll stay tuned with us for the next hour or so as we spend time in God's Word this morning, and we also look at some things that are going on around us in the Brotherhood. We want to begin this morning by mentioning the 2017-2018 Bible Bowl series of Northeast Texas. This year's topic of study is 1 and 2 Corinthians. The testing center is the North Jefferson congregation located at 2311 North Jefferson Boulevard in Mount Pleasant, Texas. The testing is held the second Monday of every month at 7 p.m. and the next meeting will be November the 13th, and the testing topic will be 1 Corinthians chapters 5 through 8, and the host is the Blodgett congregation. One of the neat things is everyone has an opportunity to participate. The youth division for young people from the 1st through the 12th grade by congregation, and then the adult division, which is all ages. And so something for everyone, and we invite you to come out and with your youth to the next assembly that will be on November the 13th over 1 Corinthians 5 through 8, hosted by the congregation from Blodgett, Texas. Okay, we also want to note coming up November 3rd and 4th, is the annual TGRN Lectureship and Banquet. This great event will be our fourth annual TGRN Lectureship. It'll begin on Saturday, November the 4th at 10 a.m. and run till around 4 p.m. And then on Sunday, we'll also have guest speakers during the Bible class and the worship in the evening times also. So we look forward to seeing you there. There's going to be some great speakers. On Saturday, we'll have a barbecue lunch. On Sunday, there will be a potluck fellowship. And so it's going to be a good opportunity for us to get to know you a little better, and also to perhaps, if you've not met some of the broadcasters, you'll have the opportunity to meet some of them. And so we look forward to this event coming up November 4th and 5th at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. For more information, you can call us at 903-537-4129. Also, the Mount Vernon congregation will be hosting a blood drive on November the 11th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, if you're interested in participating in that, you can give us a call at 903-537-4129 and set up a time to give blood if you're in the Mount Vernon area. All right, let's turn our attention now to God's Word. And we are continuing today our study of the Old Testament in 2017. We are rapidly nearing the end of our study as we are now into the Minor Prophets. And today we are going to begin our study of the book of Hosea. And so at this time, I invite you, as we said, to join us in our study this morning. And we are so glad that you are with us. The book Hosea. The name Hosea means God is salvation, help, or deliverance. The prophet Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel, which is also referred to here as Ephraim, more specifically. Most scholars place Hosea's prophecies between 725 and 750 B.C. Rex Turner wrote that two systems of religious worship prevailed in Israel, and each was a reproach against God, namely calf worship and Baal worship. Jeroboam had introduced calf worship in 1 Kings chapter 12. Thus, he changed the object of worship, the place of worship, the time of worship, and the access of worship. The Baal worship had been introduced and stressed since the time of Ahab and Jezebel, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 18. We find in the book of Hosea that God makes his case against Israel concerning their sin. And in Hosea, we find that they are indicted by the Lord with seven charges concerning Israel. And these are the things that would lead to their downfall, but in principle, things that would lead to the downfall of any nation. We can divide the book of Hosea into three sections pretty easily. The first three chapters, we are presented with Israel's spiritual adultery. In chapters 4 through 13, we are presented with the charge against Israel. And finally, chapter 14, we see Israel's conversion and pardon. Now, it is interesting to note that here in these first few chapters, and concerning the relationship between God and his people, we see the physical illustration of marriage represented. And so there is a spiritual and a physical application. And this book is quite graphic in its illustrations, but that truly illustrates the vileness of spiritual or physical adultery. Now, Hosea, as we now get into chapter 1, we see Israel's adultery. And so we begin this first book of the Minor Prophets. Chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Hosea immediately informs us that this is the word of the Lord. This is not the words of Hosea himself. Hosea is simply the inspired penman. Now, we notice the kings mentioned here that he lived under during the time of this prophecy. In Judah, we see Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And in Israel, Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And we would consider prophecy, we would do well to remember the words of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry, and the children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So we find that Hosea is instructed to take a wife of harlotry. Indeed, Hosea would marry Gomer, and their relationship would be representative of the relationship between God and Israel. Much like Israel, it appears that Gomer was faithful for a while. But soon, Gomer drifted off into immorality, much like Israel. Gomer's background would be a pull toward sexual immorality. When one is brought up or comes of age in a state of sexual immorality, they are more than likely going to continue to follow the same path. And of course, we see that Israel also would quickly do like most of their forefathers did, even after so much that God had done for them, they would continue to drift back into spiritual adultery shortly after each time they would repent. Verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. So Hosea follows the instructions of the Lord, and he marries Gomer and has a son and names him Jezreel. And when I read Jezreel, the name means God scatters. God was most definitely going to scatter the northern kingdom. Recall there at the end of verse 4, God said, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. God said that he would bring an end to the northern kingdom, and he would do just that very thing about 20 years later during the Assyrian invasion. Continuing on to verse 6. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and he will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Gomer gave birth to a daughter, Lo-Ruhamah, which is said to mean not pitied. God would have no pity on his people at this time. God's long suffering has a limit, and he will bring a just judgment upon sin. Gomer then gave birth to a third child, a son, Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. The northern kingdom would soon no longer be his people. Judah would be chastised, but not yet removed. The lineage to the Savior was going to be preserved. God, though, had not changed. He had moved himself away of necessity because the people had left him. They desired and wanted to be like the nations around them. How many of the spiritual descendants of Abraham, which is the church, how many today in the church long to be like those around them today? We really need to consider, where are we standing today? Verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. You can see here Hosea makes reference to the future church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reference is also the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. There we read, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, see that fulfillment. Let's look through those verses 10 and 11 again there. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. And so we see that God would fulfill the promise made to Abraham through spiritual Israel, the church. And so now we move into chapter 2, verse 1. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Bring charges against your mother. Bring charges. For she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight, and her adulteries from between her breast, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. So we need to see Gomer as representative of Israel. And Hosea is representative of God in these verses. Notice that the children are told to plead with Gomer, with her, their mother, to stop prostituting herself. She had deserted her husband and her children to prostitute herself. In the spiritual application, Israel was in spiritual adultery, and they had joined themselves to other gods, and thus Israel had deserted her God. And yes, even today, those who entered the blood-purchased Church of Jesus Christ, those who then turned to other ways, to false teachers, to the prince of this world, have also committed spiritual adultery. Gomer needed to change her ways, and if not, she would be stripped of the blessings she enjoyed as the wife of Hosea. She would be stripped naked, her sins totally exposed. You see, those even today who commit adultery in a marriage, when they are exposed, we see the loss that takes place. And those that commit spiritual adultery against the Lord by worshiping other gods, indeed, they also will be stripped naked and exposed in their sin. Israel's sin was about to be exposed. God was not going to have mercy on the children of the harlot, according to verse 4, where he said, "I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry." Notice back to Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." And Israel was certainly not commandment keepers. The sins of a generation oftentimes have produced terrible consequences for the next generation. In more recent times, we might consider the German people, those in Germany that brought about the First World War. They brought indescribable suffering upon the following generation in the economic hardships that they suffered through after the war. And then the Allied powers, by burdening Germany with such difficult hardships in the years after the war, then created conditions which brought about Hitler and the Nazis, which created the Second World War. If we want to take this to a more, even more modern thought, and also in the spiritual application, the preceding generation in this country sought to remove the Bible from the classroom, and it was replaced with the godless theory of evolution. And in time it began to be taught as fact. Also, the attitude of selfishness that developed in the baby boom generation, the demand for instant gratification, for pleasure at any cost, it spread across our land. And now notice that we are suffering the consequences of these evil developments, as we can witness this in many of the demonstrations today, the violence across our academic campuses. But future generations are going to face even more agonizing problems that have grown, that will grow and will continue to grow out of the selfishness of this generation. Indeed, our society is currently removing all restraints on the behavior of men. The home is being destroyed. Most children today are being raised in non-nuclear families. Many, many, many do not know who their father even is. We have society now that urges you to make early choices, glorifying homosexuality, and so many other problems, the drug problems. But you see, the next generation will have to deal with the consequence of the sins of our generation. Gomer had prostituted herself, and she was looking to her lovers for the daily things in life. She gave herself to others and thought they would take care of her. She overlooked her husband. America is doing the same thing. We are overlooking God and giving ourselves to each and every possible idol that we can. Oh, it may not be a little wooden statue, but it is certainly the love of money, sexual immorality, materialism, greed, covetousness, and the like. Israel had prostituted itself to other gods, and they were looking to them for their daily blessings of goods, much like Gomer was to her lovers, much like America today. Israel was giving herself to other gods and not the one and only true and almighty God. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths." Just like so many Americans today, Israel and Gomer were intent on ignoring the will of their head. They wanted to do as they pleased. Israel would not listen to God any more than Gomer was listening to Hosea. They wanted to do as they pleased and felt that there would be no penalty from their deeds. Just as many have removed God as our head, now come children desiring to get away from the old man in the home. But many find after they get away from the old man that it wasn't so bad after all. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we read, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 7. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better than for me now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Like many adulterers who realized that they had it better than they thought they did at home, it is too late once they realize their mistake. Israel would realize too late that God was the only true friend that loved her. Much like the prodigal son who hit bottom and realized it wasn't so bad at home. When adultery is exposed, the lover that was thought to care so much for you is now avoiding you and running from you and wants nothing to do with you. How much can a false god that is nothing more than a piece of wood or metal provide compared to the loving God of heaven? Let's just get real in our thinking for a moment. How much can an illicit lover provide that the husband of one's youth that loves her dearly will provide? Israel had wasted the love of God for the allure of Baal. Gomer was wasting the love of Hosea for the lure of illicit lovers. Many Christians today are casting the sight of the God that loved them so much that he gave his son that they might have eternal life, are turning and rejecting that incredible gift, making it in vain for the things of this world, for false teachers and false ways. Verse 9, therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. God was about to punish sinful Israel, and God was about to remove all of her blessings due to her unfaithfulness. Notice Ezekiel chapter 16 in verse 49. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. This would indicate that Israel was even worse than Sodom. We attribute America's great power and wealth to our technology and ingenuity very quickly. How quickly we forget that it is God from whom all blessings flow. And now the time had passed, and there was no one to rescue them from this judgment. Verse 12, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, These are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry, and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, says the Lord. The worship of Baal was going to be very costly. God said, but me she forgot, to Israel. Just as Hosea would say to Gomer. Is the Lord saying the same thing concerning the church today? Has God been forgotten? Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. And I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. The Lord was not looking for the harlot that Israel had become. Gomer had dealt treacherously with Hosea. Israel had dwelt treacherously with the Lord. He desired to take her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her, friendly, reassuring things. Israel, instead, was taken to the wilderness to be indicted and to be put on trial. The new situation was going to be drastically different because of their failure to repent. Verse 16, and it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day is again pointing forward to the return of God's blessings. It's far in the future from that day. Israel had broken her trust with God. The marriage vow had been broken. It is not quickly reestablished. The idolatry of the Jews was not acceptable. It was not acceptable any more than any form of idolatry is acceptable today. The alcoholic often says, I quit drinking. I will never take another drink, not another drop. Yet soon, they repeat their same sins and turn back to the bottle. You see, the proof is in the pudding. What was going to happen? You see, every time that Israel would repent, they would soon forget God and turn back to their spiritual lovers. Time was going to run out, but God's favor would be found again in that prophesied coming of the church. Verse 18 says, in that day I will make a covenant for them. Jesus was the one to make that covenant. He said, I will make a covenant for them. The New Testament, the New Covenant, would replace the old sacrificial system of the law of Moses. The new way would be permanent, and it would not be broken. In the latter part of 18, we pick up again that with the beast of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. See, he would break the bow. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is a peaceful one. Recall in John chapter 18, when Jesus told Peter to put away his sword. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. The marriage of Jesus Christ and his church is an eternal one. This was prophesied by Daniel in chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is marked by love and mercy. There would be no spiritual adultery in the new covenant, those who remain in it. In Romans chapter 7, if you look at verses 1 through 7, you see the relationship between Christians and Christ being compared to that of a solid marriage. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, while her husband lives, if she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Did you notice also there in verses 19 and 20, Hosea here leaves us some important things to consider in the relationship between a man and a woman, and also the relationship between Christ and the church. Notice that they were betrothed in righteousness. The church and a marriage need people to exhibit righteousness and justice. Also, 19 there mentions loving kindness. It mentions mercy. And verse 20 mentions faithfulness. How will a marriage work if both spouses exhibit righteousness, justice, loving kindness, mercy, and faithfulness in their daily lives? And even of more importance, how will the church function if it is filled with righteousness, justice, loving kindness, mercy, and faithfulness? Verse 21, "It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel." The fulfillment, of course, is in the New Testament system. The Lord would hear, respond, and bring forth. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." And now, verse 23, "Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God." Paul pointed out this was fulfilled in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. As he quoted from this passage, Peter attested to this also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. And we could draw a comparison with 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 through 18 concerning the spiritual harlotry that exists today. As we go into chapter 3, we find that Gomer had forsaken her husband. She had played the harlot by taking multiple lovers, forsaking her husband, Hosea. And now Gomer is pictured as old and unattractive. Yet, Hosea still loves her, though to her lovers now she is worthless. Israel has played the harlot, yet God still loves Israel, even though her spiritual lovers have no use for her any longer. Verse 1, "Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans." Hosea is to go and love a woman who was beloved of her friend. Of course, that friend is Hosea. Her lovers had just simply used her until they were through with her, until she no longer appealed to them. And God tells Hosea to take her back. You see, Hosea was to be like God. For all of the sins that one of us might have committed, God is willing to take even the most sinful back if they will only repent. So Hosea is to take back this sinful woman who had corrupted their marriage. But there was going to be conditions if this marriage were to survive, conditions that both were going to have to meet, according to verse 3. But let's notice verse 2. So I brought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. Hosea had to go and buy her back. This would seem to indicate that her lovers now had such little use for her that they must have sold her as a slave in order for Hosea to buy his own wife back. You know, we see many turn this way in denominationalism. They leave the Lord, turn to false ways, and eventually, when they've hit rock bottom, or if they've just turned to the world, then they want to come back like the prodigal son. In verse 3, Hosea gives conditions. And I said to her, "You shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you." Hosea gives Gomer the condition she has to meet. She was not to play the harlot anymore. Gomer was not to give her body sexually to anyone but Hosea. But Hosea promises that if she does this, that he will also be faithful for her. You see, God has promised to be faithful. Think about the mercy that Hosea extends to Gomer here. "For as an adulterer under the law of Moses in which they lived, the penalty for her adultery was death. But the penalty of sin, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, is still death. The wages of sin is death. Oh, but the gift of God, eternal life." Hosea demonstrates his loving kindness and promises to be faithful to her, just as God promises to man. When one takes back in a marriage an unfaithful spouse, when one has been the innocent party to the adultery of another of their spouse, when that trust has been broken, it takes great mercy and a great compassion and great forgiveness to accept one back. But God did that very same thing for Israel. God will do the same for those who wander today. He is ready to take you back. Indeed, a man or a woman must have great love to take one back after infidelity. But that is the love Hosea had for Gomer. It is the love God had for his people. It is the love that Jesus Christ has for his church. Verse 4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. And afterward the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." There was going to be a long time from the period of Hosea to the establishment of the kingdom of Jesus. In fact, over 700 years. They would fear the Lord and his goodness during the latter time. Indeed, those that obey the gospel and remain faithful are those who fear the Lord. As we close today, I want to read Brother Burton Kaufman had well summed up this section here when he said, "This whole terrible picture of the apostasy of ancient Israel was a product of their own arrogant presumption. It began when they rejected God as their ruler and demanded a king like other nations. And through those kings, they were led into the grossest immoralities and idolatrous worship of the Balaam, even rejecting God outright and attributing all of their blessings to pagan deities. Throughout that long period of progressive apostasy, there was still the presumption in their minds that they were the chosen people of God. Hosea's prophecy was designed to destroy that conceit." Beginning tomorrow, as we look into chapter 4, you will see those indictments or charges brought against Israel before God's judgment would fall upon them. They would well know what they were guilty of. Indeed, they were guilty of the lack of knowledge, as we see in chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. They were guilty of pride, chapter 5. Chapter 6 points out their instability. Chapter 6 and 7 point out the worldliness of Israel. They are indicted in chapter 9 for their corruption. In chapter 11, for their backsliding. And in chapter 13, for their idolatry. Yes, a price would be paid for sin. But a loving, merciful, and compassionate God always stands ready to receive those that will turn back to Him. Our time is up this morning. I thank you for joining us. I urge you to tune in again tomorrow, if the Lord wills, for the continuation with Brother Chip in this study of Hosea. The Lord wills, I'll see you again next Thursday at this same time. And I also invite you to join me on Fridays at 11 a.m. Central Time for our Studies in the Gospel program. Again, this is Chris McAlea saying so long and have a great day.